Last week, we began inside doing the Sif Seichein in the newer edition, which we have on the PDF. So let's just chazer again inside very quickly, because these are concepts which they take time to internalize. So we'll begin inside once again from the top, and chazering will only further enhance our ability to understand weiter, because everything, as we're going to see, is built one upon the next. This is a whole seder of Hishtalshelus of Ma'aseh Bereishis. I just want to remind us where we're holding in terms of world, in terms of Ma'aseh Bereishis. So all we know from looking at the Torah is something called Bereishis Bara Elokim, which is the process of the beginning of creation. But you could say Bereishis Bara Elokim means when Hashem Yisparach had a ratzon to create, here's day one. But there's many blanks in the Torah which Hashem Yisparach doesn't reveal to us how we got to day one. How did we come to this moment of Ma'aseh Bereishis? And Sfarim HaKadoshim teach us that this is the difference between the letters of the Torah and the cloth of the Torah. That there's black and that there's white. So Chazal tell us in Parsha Zayis HaBracha that the black, which is the ksav of the Torah, is a way that Hashem Yisbarach reveals himself. Because from the black, from the ksav, emerges thoughts and ideas and concepts which we can be tofes. These letters, the combinations of letters. However, the parchment of Torah, which we just see as being the background and something which is somewhat uninforming, is really a very important chiling in Torah also, and that's the unspoken part of Torah. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim teach us that from the fact that there's much more parchment than there is black in the Torah, teaches us that there's much more sodos and unspoken parts of Torah than there is which is enunciated and taught to us. And so the white part of the Torah, which precedes Bereishis Bara Elokim, are all the mysteries and the secrets which HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals, which is an unspoken language, which is teaching us everything about the moment of Bereishis Bara Elokim. And that's Bechlal, the Sodas of Torah. The Sodas of Torah is the white of Torah. That's why white represents the Or. So whereas black, whereas darkness, represents concealment, and every revelation of Hashem, as we'll come to soon understand a little bit more as we go along, every revelation of Hashem Yisparach is really a concealment of Himself. As we try to really hammer home in the beginning Shiurim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond understanding. That's something that we're going to be taking with us the entire time. That Tmimus is going to follow us wherever we go, to constantly remind ourselves and to recognize that Hashem Yisbarach Himself is beyond understanding. And as much as He reveals Himself, at the same time, we delight in that new understanding of Him, yet we humble ourselves to know that every revelation of Hashem Yisbarach is also a concealment, and not to allow every revelation to Chas V'Shalom to conceal Himself from us, because we know that Hashem Yisbarach is Mamish Ein Sof. And again, we're going to be hammering this home as we go along, because it's such an important Yisod when it comes to Shar Shei Emunah. So where we're holding in this moment in time is in the white, which precedes Bereishis Bara Elokim, which is of course included in the secrets and the mysteries of Bereishis Bara Elokim. The Vilna Gaon says that everything is included in the word Bereishis. But we're holding in that white. And what that means is we're holding before Metzias itself. Metzias itself. We're talking right now in a reality which preceded reality. We take it for granted that there's something which is called a Metzias, something which exists. Well, we're holding right now in a place which preceded existence, and Bereishis means the creation of existence. We're trying to make this understandable to the Seichel, which to the human Seichel, which is such a flawed, which is such a weak, immature keli to understand what we're trying to speak about now. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, is trying to bring down, using what Chazal have taught us and the secrets of Torah, to help even a seichel like this understand concepts which are beyond Metzias. So again, we have to just keep that in mind where we're holding. This process which we're going to now be speaking about is the creation of Metzias itself, the creation of reality. So keep in mind where we're holding. This is before Bereishis Bara Elokim. Let's not make the mistake to think that we're holding in like Yom Echad of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Now, of course, in the deeper workings of Torah, this is a process which is repeating itself constantly, which we'll come to understand, hopefully, as we go along. But if we have to look at this as a moment in time, this is a moment in time which preceded time. This is a moment in time which preceded anything which can be called a reality, which is time, space, place, human, malachim, whatever you think is really big and grandiose and amazing, is before that. The only thing which existed at this time is Hashem Yisbarach Himself. And even though we're going to depict Hashem Yisbarach as an Or Ein Sof, it doesn't mean to say that Hashem Yisbarach is a light. Again, these are thoughts which we have to always be reminding ourselves. These are all mishalim to understand. Just with this seicha which we have, where we're holding. This is a mitzias of Hashem Yisbarach, which is even higher than mitzias. So with that in mind, with that background, let's once again go through. We'll go through it a little bit quicker because we're somewhat familiar with it, feeling it a little bit as we go along. So the Sefer Sef Seichem, which we're using, is really just verbatim, almost quoting from the Arizal at this point. So he writes, "Kisha Allah b'ritzano ha-pashat," when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a ratzon pashat, right? Just a simple ratzon. We can't really understand this ratzon. Of course, the Arizal gives us two reasons, which again, our Seicha HaKata can understand why Hashem Yisbarach wanted to create the world, which we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem. Kisha Allah b'ritzana ha-pasha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu liver ha-ilam. And Hashem Yisbarach had desire to create reality, to create existence. Kidei, in order, la-hashpia mituvo libruav, in order to give good, to be mashpia, to do goodness to His creations. Now on the sides here, and these Rashis, and the fill in the blanks, we have this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, was lacking nothing. He was lacking nothing. And when we have to just lay it out there, the purpose of creation was in only to do good to His creations. What's called the Chesed Shel Emes. It was the Chesed Shel Emes that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to do good to creation. And therefore He set this whole process of creation in motion. So we have to just break it down and to give one pashut reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to do, is He wanted to do good for His creations. And so therefore, all these things, by the way, as we go along, these are not just ideas, historical content for us to know, and it's just very nice information to share with other people and to know. Everything here has an inyan lemaisa. Everything has an inyan lemaisa. First of all, just the understanding of Hashem Yisbarach and His achdus is considered to be the single most important idea which a person can have in kol haTorah kula. These are parts of Torah, and understanding and beholding Hashem's achdus is the ikar yidiyah above all yidiyahs. Dahainu, more than understanding basav achalav, more than understanding hilchas shatnez and how to put on your tefillin. These are all manifestations of Hashem's oneness, and therefore, beholding Hashem's oneness and understanding that oneness is considered to be the single most important idea which is possibly shaykh. So therefore, as we go along, we're going to be trying to understand Hashem Yisbarach, like the Zohar says, begin the ishtamoydin light. Hashem wanted to make Himself known because the goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to the world is this idea of knowing Him, connecting to Him, beholding Him. This is going to be very vital in terms of where this world is going and the Tachlis HaBriyah and this goodness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to impart to His creations. This all has to do with knowing Hashem Yisbarach. And we have very immature understandings of who He is. We know that Hashem Yisbarach is Echad. This has been drilled into us, hopefully, in our background, in our upbringing, in being in the shuls which we've gone to. Hopefully we've had some mashpim in our lives who have opened up our eyes a little bit to what Hashem's achdus is. But the ikar tachlis of this limud is that a person should understand more and more about Hashem's achdus, because this is the ikar tainug and pleasure that a person can have in the next world and also in this world. This is the ikar delight. And so therefore when a person puts on tefillin and he does tzitzis, and every single day when he davens, the tainug and the pleasure which will come out from that davening will be in accordance to how much of Hashem Yisbarach he's able to be masik. So therefore, many times you see a person and he's very hot in his davening. It's lichtig. It's mamish gevaldik his davening. You see another person who is not so much, and even that person could be a bigger talmid chacham than the first person. But the difference is that the person who's davening, the first time that he's on fire from his davening, is that he has a hasaga of who he's being mispalled to. And the person could be a bigger talmid chacham in Shas and Poskim, but he doesn't understand what it means Hashem Echad. And what we find many times in Chassidus and in Kabbalah, in Pnimis Torah versus Chitzonis and Nilus HaTorah, that there's very different understandings and evaluations of what's really called the Talmud Chacham. It's not so pashut. Although the Ramah codifies in Shulchan Aruch that a halachic Talmud Chacham is somebody who understands Rov, Shas, and Poskim. That's not the definition of the Arizal and the Baal Chassidus of what's called Talmud Chacham. It's very important to keep that in mind. And especially when it comes to davening, because davening is understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're communicating with the one and only. So the whole mitzias of tefillah is one which is screaming connection with Elokos. So according to a person's havan of Hashem's Elokos, is going to totally shape the nature of the davening, the Yerushalayim of the davening, the Av in the davening. It's totally in this yisod. Not so much in how much a person understands the halacha of Agunus and Yibum, which is of course gevaldik, and that's all manifestations of Hashem Yisbarach and connecting to Hashem Yisbarach. But when it comes to davening in particular, we're just highlighting right now, this is going to make a very, very big difference in terms of how much a person appreciates the achdus of Hashem Yisbarach. So where we're holding now is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving over of His goodness to creation, and that ratzon that Hashem wants to give over goodness to creations has propelled Him to set Maisa Bereishis in motion. And we haven't got so far yet. We're just talking about that ratzon right now. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He comes to create the world, and this is a huge endeavor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking on. You can imagine the project. This is a huge project. Now, of course, to keep in mind, this is not a huge project for Hashem Yisbarach. He could have done it whatever way He wanted to. But this, what we're going to learn, is the Seder which He chose to do it. For us to be able to understand it, even according to our Seichel HaKatan. Now, what's the first challenge? We're going to see many challenges, Kivyachon. This is a very big lesson in life, as we'll come to understand. So what's the first challenge that Hashem Yisbarach has in creating the world? So let's continue. Lo hayashum avir umakom panei livrei b'seichei shum davar. There was no place, there was no space for Hashem Yisbarach to create this concept which He had in mind, which is called to do hatava to His creations. Now, how could there be no space? Right, this person has a major real estate project. He wants to, he wants to make a huge, huge building and landscapes, everything else in Manhattan. The problem is there's nowhere to go. So, what was the problem here? Nothing existed. This is before existence. So the problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is His own problem, Kiryach. Ki kol ha-metzias ha-yamamula me'or Hashem ha-godol v'hanoyer. This light of Hashem was everywhere. And again, I'm just going to reiterate this, you'll forgive me for this. Everywhere means we're talking about still a Metzias which preceded Metzias, whatever that means. And when we talk about or, of course, we're not talking about mamish light. This is something which is a mushel for light. We call it an or because, again, we're trying to fit in an elephant into a teacup. We're trying to fit concepts which are beyond understanding into the Seichel HaKatan here. So the way that we understand it, we need a mushel. Right? Very flimsy mashal, and the best mashal we have to depict something which is ruchni is called or. So we call it or. And this or of Hashem, which is beyond Metzias, is everywhere. It's in a place which is above place, but it fills all of this playing field which precedes existence. This light is everywhere. And this light is called Hanikra, or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. It's not just called the light, because there's many revelations of Hashem light, although all light is one, because Hashem Yisbarach is one. But the revelation of this light at this time is called the Or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. It's the light which doesn't have any end. And as the Mefarshim explained, it also doesn't have any beginning too. But we just call it, according to the way that we can understand something, that everything has a beginning, we call it the Or Ein Sof. But it's really the Or Ein Sof, or Ein Reishis, like we say about Hashem Yisbarach, who B'li Reishis, B'li Sachlis. Right? So Kivyachol, Hashem Yisbarach wants to create a space, a place where things can exist, and the problem is that He's there. And the nature of this light is so strong and so intense that it was impossible to make any creation there. Anything. Now again, we're talking about before any creation. He's going to say, Afilu malachim in tzrafim, even the angels and the different types of angels, because to us that's considered to be something which is very great and in the higher worlds. But it really means everything. Everything mamish. Ki haya mechal v'sarif hakol, because anything which will go into this light, the light itself will consume it because it's so overwhelming. The mashal which the tzaddikim give is that if you put something into the sun, then it ceases to exist. So you can imagine the or of Hashem, the sun is just a mashal for Hashem Yisbarach in this world. And of course that's the reason why in earlier times, perhaps even nowadays, people went off the derech, so to speak, by confusing the sun as being an entity. Right? Because if you take a look at the sun, it has a very powerful role in this world. Not only does it give light to everything, but it gives life to everything. Nothing can exist without the sun. Right? All the sweetness of the foods, everything which is grown, right? We know about vitamin D, and there's things which a human needs from the sun in order to exist. So people who, especially in earlier times, who were big philosophers, who had a very big understanding of the Bria, of course, if you had to kind of break it down as to like what is the ultimate being in this little tiny world which we exist in, the sun is very dominant. Right? But again, to us, that's only just a mashal katan that Hashem Yisbarach gave us to understand His influence. So anything which goes into the sun is completely eradicated. So we have to understand trying to create world in this space where Hashem Yisbarach fills that space. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to bring out to us by creating Maisa Bereishis in this way is to understand how great He is. That He is so, so great, that this was kivyachol a challenge. Al kein chutzrach, this is a very important point. This is the beginning, this is the first move in Maisa Bereishis. Al kein chutzrach lasos makum ponei b'chtei liver sham olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the following thing. He's going to create a vacuum, an empty space, where His light is not present, in order to create creation. So let's continue, skipping the parentheses. Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what's the lemais of this? Tzimtzem v'silek kivyachol min oirai. He was mitzamtzem, which He contracted, v'silek, and He removed. Kivyachol min oro, parts of His light, ha'gadol, of this great light, litzdadin. He moved it to the sides. Of course, we're talking about a metzius which is higher than sides. But whatever that means, he took this light which was in this space. After evaluating the entire landscape, he found the place where he wanted to make this world. Not just this world, I'm talking about all of existence. And so therefore he started removing things. Right? If a person comes to a field and it's filled with kimshoin and all types of trees and weeds, and he says, and he looks at it and he says, this is the place where I imagine and I envision my palace is going to be. He's got to get to work. He's got to start pulling out the trees and pulling out the weeds and everything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did the same thing, kivyachol, with His light. He says, this is where I want to make existence. And He started to remove, to demolish, to create the space in order to make world, existence. V'hishur be'emsa, and He left in the middle. And again, in the middle doesn't mean in the middle of endlessness. It means in the middle after creation is called the middle. Makom chalul uponai bibechinas igel. A hole, a vacuum, which is considered to be circular. But derech mashal, it's considered to be circular. Maybe we'll come to explain why this circular, either today or maybe another time, maybe in the WhatsApps, we'll see. Shebesei chachalul hazeh nishtalshalu v'nivru kol ha'olamos al yoyne v'sachtonim. That in this chalo, there's going to be a hishtalshalus, which is going to be a chain sequence of creation of all of the oilamas, el yoinim v'tachtonim, the higher ones and the lower ones, kol ha'malachim s'rafim v'oifanim, all the various levels of angels, v'chol ha'bruim kulam mikatan v'agadol, from the greatest and the highest to the lowest. Again, Rabbi say, everything, all of existence is going to create be in this hollow. No matter what you think, maybe a very, very great creation. Let's say there's a super angel. The super angel does not leave the challah. Everything which exists, exists in the challah, because outside the challah, surrounding the challah, is Hashem's endless light. And anything which is in the endless light is toast. It doesn't exist. It ceases to exist. So therefore, when we look at the Seder of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and we see, and we start to learn, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, these creations, everything is taking place in this challah hapana. And even all the blanks, which Chazal fill in, where you don't see that Hashem created the angels. The angels were created on day two. Right? That's in the challah hapana. The neshama was created in day one. Right? That's in the challah hapana. Right? Torah? That's in the challah hapana. Everything is existing in the challah hapana. V'lachin nikra HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'torah makom. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called makom. Chazal give him that name. Hashem is called the Mekomo Shel Olam, that He is the place of the world, not that the world is His place. Al Shem She'asa Be'etzim Oru Kivyochol Makom Hapanei Livyos Olamos, because He gave of Himself, He made a place for everything to exist. V'zeh HaChalol is called in Sfarim HaKdoshim Chalol Hapanei. Okay, this is a term which comes up a lot in the deeper Sfarim. It's called the Chalol Hapanei, right? The empty vacuum. O Tehiru Ila, which is the Targum translation of this world, it has deeper implications, why it's called Tehiru Ila. But for where we're holding right now, we'll leave it at this, that Tehiru Ila is a term which comes up in Kabbalah more frequently, whereas Chalal Apana is used more in Chassidus. But it has deeper implications as well, why it's called Tehiru Ila. Okay, so far we're holding where, in this place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol had a challenge. And I'll just point out, just alpi chassidus and alpi derech avodas Hashem, that we see that whenever a person takes on a very big project, he's about to involve himself in something which he feels is very great, there's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be menias involved. Because every single great endeavor has surrounding it, you know, what we call the klipus, which is called menias. And there's a purpose for those menias, and that's so that a person who has those menias, he creates a greater cheshek, a greater ratzon, in order to be able to see through the project. But the Torah tells us this, that the ultimate hasaga which a person can have is called the Eitz HaChaim. And the Torah tells us about the Eitz HaChaim. We spoke about this before in the Hakdamah Shiur, that around the Eitz HaChaim is the Lat HaCheref HaMetzapechas, the revolving sword. And all challenges in life, all menias, and whatever person thinks is his Eitz HaChaim in this world, whatever his purpose is in this world, whatever his tachlis is, be it great or small today, on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis, perhaps his life goal, is going to have a Lat HaCheref HaMetzapechas. There are going to be challenges, and the root of that Yesod comes from Ma'aseh Bereishis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create this project, which for him was his Eitz HaChaim, he was confronted with the following obstacle, is that there was a light, an endless light, which was filling this entire existence. Now, if you see this, you can go even deeper. And this was the very first kasha. Right? A person is learning a sugya, Hashem Yisroel is involved in the sugya, is a bam kasha. Right? This is the very first kasha in Alef Torah. Right? I want to understand the sugya. My plan is to make man. I want to get to the core of what I'm looking to get out of this sugya. And Hashem has a very first kasha. Kasha number one, I want to make man. Can't do it. The light is everywhere. So Hashem Yisroel comes up with an eitzah. But you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kasha was what? That his endless light was the problem. Now, Pi Chassidus, what this is teaching us, is that most of the challenges which we have in life are not things which are outside of ourselves, but the real work in dealing with the kashas is inside of ourselves. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach a person, and the main goal in this world is to emulate Hashem Yisbarach, and to be as much like Hashem Yisbarach as much as we possibly can. And part of that is trying to be as good as we can possibly be. Being that we know from Ma'aseh Bereishis, Chazal taught us that Hashem, or propelled Hashem Yisbarach Kevyachol to create the world, is His goodness. And so therefore, by being as good as we possibly can be, with Tikkun HaMidos, we start to emulate Hashem Yisbarach, and that's good. Like my Rebbe Rav Chaim Brims, that's all I used to say. It's good to be good. When a person does a good deed, he feels good. Right? Even a guy, doesn't have to be a Jew. If you do something good, you feel good about it. So where does that come from? Why when I do something bad, is that not considered to be good? Doesn't make me feel good, that I really regret it. Where does that consciousness come from? This is a global consciousness. It comes from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is good, and He did it with good intentions. And He's the makor of all goodness. He's the makor of all pleasure. So when we do good things as well, and we emulate, we become like Hashem Yisbarach, it feels good to be good. It doesn't feel good to be not good. That in itself is a reason to do good things. So again, even this in itself is such an amazing, powerful teaching. What we're coming to see Alpi Chassidus and Alpi Pnimius Be'ion is that the very first challenge that Hashem Yisbarach had is that His light was everywhere. He Himself was His problem. He was Ma'akev Himself. So too, when we have challenges in life, whatever those challenges may be, and especially big challenges when it comes to being Masig, this Eitz HaChaim, this Tachlis, what Hashem Yisbarach wants us to know is that although it may seem like he or she or that or this here or there may be the real problem, the real avodah alpi pnimius is the internal work. Because when we change our internal reality, then reality around us changes also. It's a very important yisod when it comes to life. The life alpi pnimius is that we have to really identify for ourselves what are our challenges. Our challenges outside of ourselves, that could be alpi chitzonis and niglas hatayra. That alpi pnimius hatayra, and pnimius means going inside, the real work is going to be done inside. And the whole Havan of Hashem Yisbarach is internal work. Right? We're going to be talking about the halachas kivyachol of Pnimiyas HaTorah. But these are all concepts. They're all concepts, but there are halachas attached to them because we have to stay within the framework of the Yud Gimel Ikri of Emunah. We're going to understand the Ikri Emunah much deeper, much, much more than just Yud Gimel Ikrim, but it all, the halachas of Emunah are all concepts such as internal work. But there are halachas, very, very strict halachas that a person shouldn't fall into the depths of apikorsis or kfira. We're going into very, very, very subtle nuances of Hashem Yisbarach's oneness. And that's why I emphasize and I emphasize again that maintaining this idea that when we're speaking about Hashem Yisbarach's or, even we're talking about right now, we're talking about an or Ein Sof. Let's not make the mistake to think that the or Ein Sof is Atzmuso Yisbarach, that this is Hashem Yisbarach himself. Of course, it's a manifestation of Hashem, but this is, of course, also a creation of Hashem. Because Hashem Yisbarach is above or. Even the word Echad, the Ramchal says, and that doesn't even depict Hashem's oneness. It's just the best word which we can use is that Hashem Yisbarach is Echad. But we're talking about something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, which is a revelation of himself, which to the human mind is even hard to be mastered, so we just call it Or Ein Sof and done with it. These are all mishalim, because we have to, as we go along, to constantly maintain the proper perspective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is mamish above, beyond. And what we're talking here about the Or Ein Sof, which was everywhere, and removing that light, and that doesn't mean to say that a person, that Hashem Yisbarach himself is like removing Atzmuso Yisbarach. And although very big people have thought that, and maybe we'll see the Baal HaTanya inside, in the footnotes he quotes him, that we're not talking about Atzmuso Yisbarach. There's the Or of Hashem, and there's the Atzmus of Hashem. The Atzmus of Hashem, we say about that, Pasuk in Navi, Ani Hashem Leishanisi, nothing changes me at all. Everything which I do doesn't affect my Atzmus. So a mashal to that would be, let's say a person, he has a challenge, and he has, let's say, a certain emotion which is holding him back to be able to do this maisa which he would like to do. So he works on that emotion, and he makes a space with that emotion to be able now to, he works with it to be able to follow through on what he wants to do. So kivyachol, Hashem Yisbarach came in to create this world, and there was an or, which is some type of a revelation of Hashem Yisbarach. It's a revelation, it's him. We can connect to him in this way. But at the same time, it's not the end of him because he's an Ein Sof. And that's what Or Ein Sof means, that this Or Ein Sof in and itself is Ein Sof, but Hashem Yisbarach himself is beyond beyond. So here Hashem Yisbarach has the first kasha in Ma'ase Bereishis, and he devised it this way that there should be this kasha. And the answer to the kasha, stage one, is Chalav HaPonai. Make the space. Make the space. Remove myself. Right? Very important yisod. We'll talk about more of Asat Dishmai in terms of Avodas Hashem and Midos Tovos and the ikar work that a person has to do in order to emulate Hashem Yisbarach. Ve'ein akavana chas v'shalom. I'm going to qualify this now. So this is like a break that he's taking in the Seder Ma'aseh Bereishis to explain yisodos of Emunah. Ve'ein akavana chas v'shalom shehashem Yisbarach sidik atzmo misham lagamer. Let's not make the mistake to think that Hashem Yisbarach is removing what's called the Atzmus of Hashem, essentialness. Dezeh i'efsher, because this is impossible, right? This is impossible. Dehare les aser panimine. This is a term which he's borrowing from the Zohar HaKadosh, which Eliyahu HaNavi uses to explain this presence of Hashem, Atzmus, as best as we possibly can. It's called les aser panimine. Translated means, there's no place which is void of him. We'll get back to that in a moment. See, he uses all the two other very important lashonos, which Hashem Yisbarach calls himself in the Zohar Kaddish. V'aboy Baruch Hu, and these are them, memali kol almin, that he fills all the worlds, v'soyvev kol almin, and he circles all the worlds. Ka'az kein ata, and that never changes. There's a certain atmos of Hashem Yisbarach, which never changes, like we said before, ani Hashem laishanisi, and so therefore, when we speak about the removal of this light, we're not talking about that atmos. This is a huge yesod, because if I come to think that this or is really Hashem Yisbarach, and this is Hashem Yisbarach himself, and I just removed Hashem Yisbarach, and now he's no longer there. Right? This little tiny mistake between Atzmus and or is a huge, huge, huge mistake. Because it makes a difference when it talks about Hashem's Achdus and Emunah, and the Shor Shei Emunah, even tiny, tiny mistakes are much bigger mistakes than if you put milk into your chalent. Much bigger mistakes. So therefore, even darkest things, even these darkest nekudas, are huge. And we know that to be true, just by derech mashal, right? In the very first stages, let's say, of pregnancy, or if you're taking a seed and put it into the ground to make a tree. So how that zera is and the healthiness of that zera from the moment at the moment of conception, and even let's say the first 40 days or the beginning of the process of pregnancy, those moments are the most vital because it's the beginning of creation. This is the beginning of the creation of that, and that everything is contained there within there. And the nafka min is when we see how it's megale itself, as it reveals itself, we're going to see later, if there's going to be a problem with the finger, chas v'shalom, that means there was a problem with the seed. If that gets banged around or something happens to that seed, it's going to make for nafka min in the revealed sense. So everything about emunah is considered to be shayrish, it's the seeds. That's why the Gemara makes a drasha about the shisha sidrei mishnah. It says, even one of the shisha sidrei mishnah where in Shabbos tells us, corresponds to a certain lashon and a pasuk. And we know one of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah is called Zeraim, Seder Zeraim. And this Pasuk, and Zeraim is the very first Seder of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And the Gemara uses the following Pasuk, Emunas Itecha, Chosin Yeshuos. So it says, Emunas Itecha is referring to Seder Zeraim. So Rabbi Nachman al Tzaddik can point out that what does a Zera have to do with Emunah? So Tosfos already has a take on this. But Zera and Emunah go hand in hand, because emunah is a zera. It's a seed which we plant, which we really don't understand the mahus of that seed. Just like we really don't know, emunah is a discussion of things which we don't understand. We're talking about emunah, we have hilchos emunah. We're talking about things which we don't understand, we're trying to understand them. And so therefore the most important halacha in emunah is always going to be that I don't understand. Because that's exactly what emunah means. That tmimus which we spoke about the last time. Being mechazik, that tmimus, that emunah tmimah, this is the most essential nekudah of a Jew, which is why Hashem Yisbarach chooses them to be his people. Because of the tmimus of Yaakov. Ki Yaakov bachar loka, Yaakov is called an ishtam. Tamim tiyah meshem alokacha, like we spoke about. That it's that tmimus, which is why the Jew has been chosen to be Hashem's people, because we are the only ones, because of that tmimus, who can truly behold and understand Hashem's oneness. Because we recognize that it's beyond. And that's Hashem's nachas. And therefore we're muksha, we're a keli to be able to receive all that light, all that goodness which we're speaking about here. This idea of less asar panimine, if we just break down the words, less asar panimine means that there's no place where Hashem Yisbarach does not exist. This is very different than saying, I see Hashem and I can point and say, Zakili Yamdei. There's a manifestation of Hashem Yisbarach, and then there's also how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself. The manifestation of Hashem is this or, that I can point and say, if I existed then, I can point and say, oh, I see this or, this is a manifestation of Hashem. The removal of the light means that Hashem Yisbarach is concealing himself. Now, according to Aryeh Yesod, that Hashem Yisbarach is Atzmus, and this here we're talking about or, which is a manifestation of Hashem, so even if the or goes away, there's still going to be some presence of Hashem which is there. I can't pointed it. I can't talk about it. The only thing which I could say about it is there's no place which Hashem is not. In the inverse. Not that Hashem is. Not that Hashem is here. And pointing and saying, aha, this is where you are. All I could say about it is that there's no place which Hashem is not. And when Hashem removed his light from this place, and there was something which is called empty now, even that emptiness is a revelation of Hashem. That's called the presence of Hashem. So in a way, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from this perspective, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing the light, and that causes for a big panic, if anybody was standing there and was like, oh, the only thing which I understand about Hashem's Baruch is this or. Now the or is gone, what's going to be with me? It was in order to be able to reveal a deeper understanding of Hashem's Baruch, that you may think that this light is just Hashem's Baruch, much deeper than that. You may not be able to see it yet, or understand it yet, but that's called the less asar panimine, holding on to that yesod, that there's no place where Hashem is not. That's a very big nekuda and a teaching which comes out of the process of Chala Panim. Let's continue. Aha Kavana. The Kavana here is what? Shekoydem HaBriya Haya Kol HaChalal. That before Bria, this space, which is now called the Chalal, was Mali Me'or Yisbar, was filled with Hashem's light. That Hashem Yisbarach had that kasha, that everything which I want to create, that this light can't be understood and makes everything bottle. Now when Hashem came to create, Helim v'histeris aragadol. We're coming to explain now in more detail what does it mean that Hashem Yisbaruch removed the light. It means that He concealed the light. V'nishar rak kevoidah. The only thing which is now left is the kavod of Hashem. I'll have to explain what it means, why this word is chosen, this kavod of Hashem. But there's a kavod of Hashem which has now been created. That before the creation of this space, we only understood Hashem Yisbaruch as the or. And now that He removed the or, and there's still a presence of Hashem, we say about that, wow. I didn't realize that there could still be a presence of Hashem when the or is removed. That's a gevaldik kavod for Hashem Yisbarach. The more that we understand that His achdus runs deeper than just an or. That there's beyond that. The less asar panim inai is very, very deep. And that deepness comes with a sense of kavod. But the word kavod is going to be more appropriate, maybe we'll have the schus to talk about it. And he just kind of tells you, Hainu levushi atzmuso kivyachal. Now because we're understanding that Hashem Yisbarach has a presence in this chalal, even this void is considered to be a levush of Hashem. Hashem Yisbarach is wearing this chalal. He's cloaking Himself in this chalal. This chalal now becomes a levush for Hashem. Now if we made the mistake, chas v'shalom, like many great people thought, the Taich in the whole sequence of the Chalal HaPanai, that Hashem Yisbaruch removed Himself and now what's left, this is now just an empty vacuum. That's not called Hashem's kavod. That would be called Hashem's problem. But because we're Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim, and we believe in what the Zohar Kodesh says, literally, less Aser Panim B'nei, that Hashem has a presence in that Chalal becomes a Gevalt, a kavod now for Hashem Yisbaruch. He's wearing that emptiness. He still has a presence there, and this void is like a Levush now for Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Maloi chala aretz kevodo, that this aretz, this place, this aretz here is a marshal for a creation. This is all just a kavod of Hashem Yisbarach. All of creation which we see in front of us, that's all to bring out Hashem's kavod. I mean, pashut, right? Isn't it not amazing in Hashem's kavod that He can create humans, that He can create trees, He can create the sun, the moon, fish, of all different types of creations, all different types of animals? Is that not called kvodo? Everything is kvodo. Maloi chala aretz kevodo. The fact that He's endless. And we see from how the things which He created that He can mamish do anything. So you ask yourself, why did Hashem have to make all these different types of species and all this and that and all that? Right? So that we can get the picture, so we can understand something about Him, right? That He can do whatever He wants. He can do whatever He wants. Shekol ha'olam malei b'malbushim. This whole world is filled with malbushim. Everything is just a malbush, just a malbush, just a malbush. Shabahem mistata or Hashem Yisbarach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He conceals Himself, but is yet present in everything which exists in this challah. So in conclusion, just for now, because we have to go prepare for Shacharis, and everything which we speak about, there's a lot. It's a lot. I know we're focusing on just a tiny little part of this page, but these are Yisodos, which it's tafasta meruba le tafasta, and the importance in always in Pnimiyus HaTorah is quality over quantity. Not that this is not quantity too, but quality never at the expense of quantity. Is to hold on to this Yisod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our Tmimus is that He's Mamish. We can call Him Or Ein Sof, and that's what Hashem Yisbaruch, what we see when He came to create world, there was this Or Ein Sof. That's also creation of something which preceded reality. But this is the first kasha that Hashem Yisbaruch had. And in order to first deal with this kasha, and there's going to be more kashas which lie ahead of us. But again, it's also important to remember the Seder Hishtalshas, because we're always going to be coming back to these. And it's going to be important for life, is that Hashem Yisbaruch had this kasha, the or is there, how am I going to creation there, the removal of that light, the revelation of what's called Les Hasai Panamine, which is called the Kvod Yisbaruch, which is also called the Levusha Yisbaruch. But as we'll see in Mr. Hashem next week, and even maybe in the chats, we'll see as we go along how to fill in the blanks a little bit, that we're not done yet with this challah, and we're never going to be done with this challah. This is all of existence there, but what the next moves are going to be in creation of the world and to understanding, which is the goal in everything which we do, Achdus Yisbaruch B'Shleimus. Have a good day.